This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. We'll talk about pettiness in politics. I think we're going to get Greenland. We'll talk about that. Seizing oil tankers, emails, the GOP is not divided. All that and so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I have to play it for you again because it's just too perfect. Last night, we're going to move on, do some emails in a moment. But last night, in fact, we'll talk pettiness in politics first. But last night, we were talking about this relationship, the criminal enterprise that is the Democrat empire, and what that empire, what that communist-run empire, communist-run revolution, what it does, why this interest, why would the Biden administration bring in 20 million foreigners? There's a lot of different aspects to Democrats not being nearly as popular as they appear to be, but one of the main things is the foreigners. Because as we have discussed before, these foreigners from other cultures that suck, they vote on the two T's, tribal and transactional. It's just simple for them. I'm going to keep stealing everything I can get my dirty hands on. You Democrats, you're going to keep protecting me while I do it. You're going to keep helping me do it. Me, I'll vote for you, though. I will get my entire block. I'll get my entire neighborhood. Everyone in my Somali clan will vote Tim Walz. It's an arrangement that works perfectly right up until the point you get some decent people in the justice system. Then it all comes apart, at least potentially. And what do you get if you vote Tim Walz?
Expect for the next 11 months for me to ride you like you've never been ridden.
What, Chris? I was playing what he said. And credit to Nick Shirley for the interview. How does it, in all seriousness, how does it look in practice? Well, here's how it goes. Remember, when Democrats bring in foreign barbarians, they not only bring them in, they settle them in blocks, in huge blocks. It's not like they send a family of four to this city and a family of five to this state and a family. No. They keep them together in huge blocks. Why would you do that?
And so, for instance, why would that judge bow down to the head of the Somali mafia here?
What I can tell you is that it's a voting block, and what they say is if you do something to go against our community, we're going to vote for, and they all vote together, and there's ballot harvesting, I've seen them do it, that we're going to vote for your opponent unless you do what we tell you to do.
And so is it all purely for votes?
Yes. You're talking probably 100,000 or more people, and they're all living rent-free. They're driving a vehicle that you paid for. They're eating food that you paid for. Everything they do is something you paid for.
And for instance, that entire block will then go and vote for one specific candidate.
They'll have one person go there and collect all the ballots, and nobody tracks. They could say they have nine people living in an apartment. They're going to send them nine ballots. And then they have someone who comes along, collects all the ballots.
How, or maybe you're confused why politicians like Jacob Frey, after that 37-year-old died today trying to stop ICE from deporting Somalis, maybe you're confused why Jacob Frey would get up and say things like this.
And I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here.
Why would he say things like this?
They are already trying to spin this as an action of self-defense. Having seen the video of myself, I want to tell everybody directly, that is bullshit. This was an agent recklessly using power.
Why does he speak like that? It's not because he believes it. His eyes saw the same video you saw. The guy laid it out quite clearly. You have to protect the community or they'll take their vote elsewhere. Your seat of power depends on the huge block of foreigners you brought into the country. And They'll step up to the microphone and tell you to your face, you better not let this fraud take us down, pal, or we're going elsewhere.
My name is Mohammed. I'm speaking today on behalf of the Somali community in Lewiston. Some of you sitting here today, we voted for you. We elected you to protect our community interests, not creating division.
I love that part. I love that part. I'm going to start it again. I love that part. He just comes right out and says it. Of course, his IQ is probably about 75, so he doesn't have the brain power necessary to filter things through. So he just comes out and says things you shouldn't say. We elected you to protect the interests of our community.
Ms. Mohammed, I'm speaking today on behalf of the Somali community.
The inbreeding is really, really wild, in case you're wondering why the IQ levels are so low in Somali. It's got to do with the clan, the inbreeding, the family tree is a straight line, that kind of thing.
Ms. Mohammed.
That's why the heads are so big sometimes.
Ms. Mohammed, I'm speaking today on behalf of the Somali community in Lewiston. Some of you sitting here today, we voted for you. We elected you to protect our community interests, not creating division or go after one elected member from our community. If this narrative continues, our community will be forced to re-examine our relationship or political relationship, including our relationship with the Democratic Party and who will be voting in the future. This is not a threat.
You bring in the barbarians, you have to give them their demands. That's the way it goes. All right, so before we do emails, let's do this. Exit interview turns explosive as Marjorie Taylor Greene attacks Trump's Venezuela move. I'm not going to talk a lot about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'll just simply back up what I said before. Remember when she announced that she's leaving? And I came on the air that night and everyone either wanted me to celebrate her or condemn her. And I said, I can't do that because we don't know whether or not it's genuine. And the true test, we won't know for a while. Remember what I told you the test was whenever someone does this? If they leave, if they say, I'm resigning because I'm frustrated. I want what's best for the country. I love you, but I've got to step away from it all. And then they step down and they go retire and you never really see or hear from them again. Then you know that was genuine. That's just a person with a genuine heart for the country stepping down. And vice versa. If they're all of a sudden on The View every night, they're on CNN every night, they're sitting down with Kristen Welker of NBC every night, and it's Republicans suck and Trump sucks, and then you'll know it's just the spiteful ex who's upset about something. Well, look, Marjorie Taylor Greene, every time you turn on some left-wing news source now, she's giving an interview trashing Republicans and trashing Trump. So there's your answer. However, that's not why I'm discussing this. I only wanted to briefly bring this up because I think it makes us feel better. It certainly makes me feel better. Remember that even powerful people can be unbelievably petty. Maybe you are petty. Maybe you've been petty in your past. Maybe you know petty people. Just remember how it looks when wealthy, famous people get petty. That's how you look when you get petty. Hey, me too. I'm a Kelly. I'll hold a grudge like nobody else. I'll do petty. It looks bad. It just always looks bad. They're capable of pettiness just like you and I are capable of pettiness, and something we should all learn, every single one of us. You, me, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Trump himself, all of us. Pettiness always looks bad. So we should probably try to avoid that at any cost. Anyway, I guess we have our answer on Marjorie Taylor Greene. Jesse, how about a history suggestion or a history show on the Mongol invasion of Vietnam? You know, I love these, by the way, I love these history suggestions emails because I'm saving them and I'm the ones I like, I'm stacking them up. And that actually is probably a good one. Vietnam, though, I'm not going to talk specifically about the Mongols right now, but Vietnam is a fascinating place. There are parts of the world that just seem to get fought over all the time. Istanbul in Turkey, you know, that used to be Constantinople, but no matter what, geography doesn't change. Go look it up. Look where it is. It's the only thing connecting the Black Sea to the open ocean through the Mediterranean. It's this critically important location, and so people have been dying over that area forever. Vietnam is one of those places, too. People have been dying there for ages. It's just that, I guess it's one of those things, it's wonderful when you have it, but you always know there's a war coming because everyone else wants it. Speaking of Vietnam, remember the show we did on Mac V. Sog in Vietnam? The baddest dudes who've ever walked. The guys that got dropped behind enemy lines, Laos, Cambodia, and more than half of them died, carrying out the most crazy missions, surrounded, outnumbered all the time. The CEO of Pure Talk did a tour with Mac V. Sog and then volunteered for another one. Two tours. How could you have a company that's so patriotic that they hire Americans? How could you have a company that just, when they give back, they don't give to Black Lives Matter and Planned Parenthood. They help veterans back on their feet. They give American flags out. That's how. That's what happens when you're veteran-led, and they'll save you money. You don't need Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Switch, and they will make it easy. Dial #250 and say, save now. #250, save now. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
Guide her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies.
Chris, sing along.
To the ocean, white and foam. God bless America, my home.
That was the candlelight vigil last night for January 6th, held by Democrats on the Capitol steps. Hey, low IQ mastermind. It's not right. What was your favorite prank to play on other people? I've told you this before. I've told this to my sons the other day. You want the greatest prank in the world? I wouldn't play this on women. They might not think it's as funny, but let me tell you what. For dudes, this is great fun. An MRE, all right? You ready for this? Keep in mind, this may be dangerous and possibly illegal. I just want to put that disclaimer out there. We did it to each other all the time in the Marines. An MRE, it's a meal ready to eat. Comes in a brown bag. It's awful, but, you know, some of them aren't bad. Once you're hungry enough, everything tastes good. But obviously, you're not cooking anything out in the field, and you certainly can't start fires or anything like that, because that's a good way to get shot. So they came up with something. Your main course in an MRE, we'll call this one spaghetti, because that was one when I was in, I don't know if they still have it, spaghetti with meat sauce. It was actually one of the better ones. It's this sealed, foiled in, sealed sleeve of spaghetti with meat sauce. Well, they include in every MRE a green sleeve. What was the point of this green sleeve? Well, it had some sort of chemical, God knows what, inside of it. This is like a powder thing, if I remember right. You take your main course, your spaghetti, you slide it into the green sleeve. Then you take just a little bit of water, not much. You dump a little bit of water in the green sleeve. You fold it up. It does some sort of chemical reaction with the liquid, and it gets super hot in there. It essentially boils the water, and it warms up your meal. You should know, just a heads up, I can count the number of times on one hand I ever warmed up my meal or really saw someone do it. No one does it. You just eat it cold. You're starving anyway. The food sucks, hot or cold. Half the time you're in the heat, you usually don't warm up your meal. But that's the idea. You can in the green sleeve. Now there's something else that's included with every other MRE, every MRE I've ever opened. They all come with the little packet. It's all sealed. It has things like a little mini packet of sugar, a little mini packet of salt. It has a miniature packet of toilet paper. You always save those because you don't know. And it also has one of those, you've probably seen them in your life before, the little miniature bottle of Tabasco sauce, the hot sauce. I'm talking about the bottle that's the size of the end of your thumb, just a tiny little thing. To this day, Tabasco is the only hot sauce I despise. There you go. Except for the Chipotle kind, obviously. It's the only kind I don't like for this reason. So here's what we did. I did not come up with this. Someone else did. You wait until your friends are sleeping. Preferably, you wait until they're taking a nap. The best case scenario is they're in some sort of a tent, something that's enclosed. They don't have to be enclosed, but the more enclosed it is, the more effective it is. You take the green sleeve from your MRE. You take the Tabasco sauce. You dump the Tabasco sauce into the green sleeve of the MRE. I would really suggest you hold your breath and quickly fold that green sleeve up as tight as you can on the top. Now is the tricky part. Now you're on the clock. That green sleeve, remember, it boils. If you seal it up too tight, which you wouldn't do if you were cooking something, but if you seal it up too tight, it's going to pop. In fact, in this situation, you want it to pop. Once you pour the Tabasco in, the clock is ticking. You need to seal it, sneak into the tent, or at least the entrance of the tent, chuck it in there. If you can, you set it in there so you don't risk waking anybody up, because if they wake up and see it, they're immediately going to know they're in a dire situation and they're going to take steps. Usually, if you've done it right, you've dropped it into the tent. It doesn't take long. It's been a while. I would say maybe a minute. If you've sealed it up right, the pressure gets so much in this green sleeve that, boom, it's this big pop that's loud as can be. You can imagine waking up like that. It sounds like a freaking gun going off. Pop! And that's the best part, because after that, it gets so much worse for whoever's in the tent. That Tabasco you poured in there has boiled into being a vapor, a gas. It's a pepper gas. It's like pepper spray. When it explodes inside of the tent, you can't breathe. Your eyes are watering. You are choking. You can't catch your breath. And it makes it even worse that all of your friends are sitting outside of the tent laughing and crying in laughter and pointing at you as you come crawling out of the tent, coughing. So I've seen guys puke from it before, hilarious, snotting all over the place. That is one of the great pranks of all time. The only other thing that I would say probably comes close to equaling that, remember I told you they made me go be a cop in the Marine Corps for a while? It wasn't my call. I was in the infantry. The cops were shorthanded. They made me go be a cop for, it was like 6 months or something like that, a cop in the Marine Corps. Well, I had to get pepper sprayed to get pepper spray qualified, so I've gone through all that, but then they give you pepper spray. Well, that's the worst thing you can possibly do to a bunch of young Marines. There's a command center when you walk into the cop shop where the radio operator, the dispatcher essentially sits there, takes phone calls, sends out the units. It's all enclosed. It's this big glass enclosure, bulletproof glass. It has this slot like the bank where you can slide pieces of paper underneath, but you could never get something like a gun or something in there underneath it. Well, you can take your pepper spray and spray them. It's wonderful. Anyway, I think we're going to buy Greenland next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday, a hump day. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So Greenland and Denmark have requested a special meeting with Marco Rubio, Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Part of what makes the Trump era so interesting, not just for you and me, and not just for the Democrats who hate him, but for the rest of the world, is sometimes Donald Trump is clearly goofing, and he doesn't really mean it. Sometimes Donald Trump is goofing, but he does mean it. And Donald Trump, he doesn't always, in fact, he rarely explains when he is or isn't goofing. Greenland. I would venture a guess you've never been to Greenland. I've never been to Greenland. Keep in mind, it's got a fantastic, absolutely fantastic branding for it, Greenland, because it's an ice-covered hellscape from what I remember, or from what I understand. That's what all the pictures tell me. People I know who've been there tell me there's nothing green about it. It's icy. It's horrible. Oh, do you have that callback of mine, Chris? He's looking for it now, but I told you this is coming. Donald Trump, before he even got elected, and then after he got elected, started talking about, well, we're going to take Greenland. Yeah, we want Greenland. I don't know. We might even, I can't rule out military action for Greenland. And people, of course, Democrats freaked out. And all the Republicans who still try to be real respectable, they try to look good for their liberal friends. They have to step up. Well, I mean, I don't like his rhetoric on this. But it was obvious to me that he wasn't joking. Now, why would you want Greenland? It's not because anybody wants to go move into Greenland. I think there's only something like 50,000 people who live on the whole thing. It's enormous. And no one lives there because no one wants to live there. Why would you want it? Strategically, if you look at a globe, you would really need, honestly, a globe more than a map to fully understand it. When you look at a globe, you would understand why Greenland is so critically important to controlling those icy waterways on the northern part of the planet. Greenland may not have a whole lot of curb appeal, but Greenland defensively, as far as militarily goes, is super, super important. The rumors are in Washington, D.C., that Marco Rubio has already told members of Congress that we intend to buy it. Now they're requesting a meeting with Marco Rubio. And of course, the stupid Europeans are, we have headlines like this. European leaders claim they will defend Greenland as the Danes say the U.S. takeover would end NATO. So Denmark is, they're out there saying, no, you can't have it. It would end NATO. Europe is saying, well, we'll send our fleet over there, such as it is. We'll send our fleet over there and we'll stop you, which is hilarious. None of these people have the ability to physically stop us. And I bet they don't want to. Here's how this works. If you have a piece of territory and you don't really use it for anything, and a country shows interest in it, this is diplomacy. This goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. They all do this. You have a piece of territory you could do without. A country shows interest in it. You almost immediately act as if you'll go to war over that piece of territory. Why do you act that way? You're driving up the price. Have you ever heard one of these stories? It's actually this story happened to a friend of mine. Have you ever heard of one of these stories where someone will own a house, maybe a piece of property somewhere, and some super wealthy guy, for whatever reason, will come knock on the door or have someone else do it and say, hey, I want to buy your house. And the person who lives there always says something to the effect of, it's not for sale. And the guy, no, no, you name your price and I'll buy your house. And it goes back and forth that way. Let me give you a little bit of advice. Not that I think that's ever going to happen to you or me, but it could. You never know. Maybe a house somebody grew up in or whatever it is. If you ever get that knock on the door, don't tell them only it's not for sale. Tell them you'd never sell it. I would never sell this house. It sounds counterintuitive. It's only going to make that rich guy want to buy it more, and it's only going to drive your price through the roof. That's what Europe is saying when they're saying they'll send in the fleet and it will end NATO and we don't like this. They're just trying to drive up the price. Remember something about Europe, and it's sad we even have to talk about those dirty Europeans, but that's the way it is. Europe is broke. They massively imported foreigners over there. At the same time, they destroyed their energy sector. All the things Democrats are trying to do here, but they've already completed all those things over there. They don't have economies anymore. They don't have enough money. They don't have money for militaries, plus all the stupid socialist programs. They don't have money. Europe doesn't have the money. They don't have the manpower. Europe, and Putin knows this too, which is sad. Europe can't prosecute a major war against anybody, even all of them combined. They just can't. They don't have the resources. They don't have the manufacturing. They can't do it. Europe can't do anything now but still pretend to be powerful. If the United States of America wants Greenland, would not be surprised in the next 3 years if we have it. We'll buy it. Telling you right now, wouldn't be surprised. Chris, we should broadcast from Greenland if we buy it as kind of what? We have to, right? The flight's got to be a nightmare. You know they don't have a major airport into there. What, Chris? No. See, Chris said from here to New York, we eat in New York, and then it's a short trip to Greenland. I bet you there's not a direct flight from New York to Greenland. I mean, there could be. I don't know. How major of an airport can you have if you have 50,000 people who live in the entire country? I bet you have to land somewhere even closer and then take a ferry over there or something like that. And I don't even know if Pete Buttigieg will drive us. Hello to my favorite history teacher, Mr. Jesse. Saratoga was the battle that changed the Revolutionary War. The Battle of Oriskany preceded Saratoga. There was a great loss of brave citizen soldiers at Oriskany, but it was successful in delaying the arrival of British reinforcements going to Saratoga, so on and so forth. What better way to celebrate America in 2026 than by understanding how we fought for our freedom in 1776? I'm getting a lot of Revolutionary War requests, a lot of them. Jesse, totally love the entire Rhodesian Bush War epic, including the extended interview. As I thought about what potential other topics, I realized I had almost no idea about who were the Vikings. I've read that archaeologists found one of their boats in America. I've heard they were somehow related to the Rus, who were apparently the original Russians. That's right, those were the original Russians. You've mentioned how off the wall they were, so on and so forth. I would consider Vikings. The problem with if you do a history show on, you know, the history of the Vikings, it's so broad, and the Vikings themselves changed so much over time. Like, for instance, as they were conquering places in Europe, as they were essentially raiding places in Europe, they got to the point where they just stayed. In the beginning, they would go in and they would raid and they would take. But then these European leaders who were afraid and desperate, they would cut deals with them and they'd say, well, okay, please stop raping and pillaging our towns. We'll give you a big chunk of ground here. And then eventually they move in there. They went from pure raiders to settlers, conquerors. It's a fascinating history. I just don't know if you could do... I don't know what kind of show you could put together on that. All right, we'll talk about the rift in the Republican Party. Before we talk about that, I spoke last segment about, you know, the Tabasco stuff and the pepper spray. Have you ever experienced any of that before? Do you know what it's like? It feels like you're dying. It feels like somebody is holding a cigarette lighter to your eyes and you can't breathe, you can't catch your breath. It's awful. You know that's why Byrna works, right? The Byrna launchers, non-lethal, legal in all 50 states, no permit needed, no background check. That's why they work. They shoot pepper balls or tear gas balls or these super hard kinetic rounds. You can shoot, did you know, you can shoot the ground in front of a bad guy and the powder that comes out of it, it's just so debilitating, he can't function. You live, you don't get arrested, everyone goes home that night. Please carry something on you to protect yourself. One for you, one for someone you love. BYRNA. Go save some money at Byrna.com/Jesse. That's Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
Guide her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains
louder
to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home.
this, please. Can we have it back again tomorrow? One more day. Just give me one more day with it, please, and I'll stop it. I'm not even asking for a third day. I'm not asking for it to be on the soundboard. It's never gonna get to Mount Rushmore.
People
like,
be sexing.
But it's wonderful. Please, Chris. One more day is all I ask. So I wanted to bring up something because there's a story out of Free Beacon today. Quote, there's no rift in the Republican Party. GOP voters back Trump's Venezuela operation, so on and so forth. I've had emails from people, and it's gone beyond just emails. My wife and I, we had dinner with a couple other couples a few nights ago, and they brought up to me the Republican Party, and hey, what about this podcaster and what they're saying, and they're fighting with this radio person and this person on TV, and what's going on with the Civil War, and I explained, it's fine to be online. It's fine because that's the best place to get news now. That's the best place to get up-to-date news. You got to go online. I know that sucks, but that's the truth. It's fine to be online. It is not fine to spend too much time there and then convince yourself that what happens there, wherever you are online, is an accurate reflection of the real world. And I know I'm going to sound old. I know that I've kind of been backwards when it comes to technology, and I intend to remain that way. So maybe you are somebody and you spend so much time on Facebook or on X, which used to be Twitter, or Instagram or any one of these other places. I know there's even newer ones than that. I understand all that. And that's a community that you found. It's a news source. It's a community. You have people you talk to there. And I'm not dogging on that at all. I spend time online. I am on X. I am. I get it. Don't ever think that this endless poop throwing that happens on these online forums is an accurate reflection of what the normal voting public thinks. I explained this 100 times already. It happened in the wake of the Turning Point USA through a big celebration, a big event. And they had all these famous speakers show up and they're giving speeches and this and that. And that, of course, degenerated into a big poop throwing thing. And everyone spent all their time on online. And I explained to everybody, there's no civil war. The right is not coming apart. Yes, there are people on the right, maybe you, who have problems with things the administration is doing or isn't doing. That's going to happen in every administration. That's fine. But don't think because this podcaster is fighting with this television host, and of course, because nobody has any class anymore, they all have to do it online out in the open. Don't think that is somehow reflective of what actually matters, and that's you and me, normal people. Normal voters don't care about this stuff, don't follow this stuff. Normal people on the right are pretty pleased with how things are going. Also, I should say, normal people on the right have problems with things that haven't been done, the lack of arrests and prices are too high. So I'm not here to say everyone's happy and everything's perfect. That's not at all what I'm saying. But don't ever spend so much time online that you convince yourself there's some terrible civil war. And let me tell you something else. The people who act like there are, they want one. That's what they're doing. They're trying to create one. They want one. The right, in general, is pretty pleased with this administration, much more pleased than the first Trump administration. And if I have to make you feel better about something else, Trump said yesterday, he's not wrong, that if Democrats take back the House, he'll be impeached. That's undoubtedly true. Remember that impeachment was not popular when they did it before, that the votes aren't there in the Senate to actually remove him. Not that it's a good thing or an okay thing if they impeach him again, but if Democrats take back the House, and they sure might, and if they impeach Donald Trump, they sure will, I don't think that's the end of the world. I just don't think it's a big deal. Nothing to worry about.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
U.S. forces seize sanctioned Russian-flagged oil tanker that eluded Venezuela blockade. Chris, I remain more and more convinced that the headquarters for my secret society that you're not allowed to join is going to be an abandoned oil tanker. And we're going to sail it around and it's going to be amazing. What, Chris? What? Yes, like Waterworld. Yes, and we're going to keep the oil in there so we never run out of gas. Scathing audit reveals more fraud concerns inside top Minnesota agency with fabricated documents and misconduct. I would like to inform you of something you probably have already figured out. A bunch of 70 IQ Somalians did not get here and set up a fraud network this national, this elaborate, without help from local Democrats. I have a feeling this Somali fraud story is going to take down elected Democrats and maybe take them down hard. Walls refuses to quit after dropping reelection bid amid Minnesota fraud firestorm. Over my dead body, you can't stop Tim Walls from riding us.
Expect for the next 11 months for me to ride you like you've never been ridden.
Looking forward to it, Tim. Venue cancels musician Ashley Maxlaglaglik after AI wrongly labels him a sex offender. Ooh, that's catching a bad break. Anyway, we'll do this tomorrow. That's all.